floor.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Thai Beverage second quarter 2015 financial results conference call. I am Nam Phuan Ansutorongsi of the Investor Relations Department. The format of the conference call today will start with a summary of the second quarter 2015 results. Then we will open for the Q&A session with management team. I will now start the summary of the financial results. Total sales revenue of the company in the second quarter 2015 was 38,992 million baht, a decrease of 2.6% year-on-year, attributable to the decrease in sales revenue of spirits. Although there was an increase in sales revenue of beer, non-alcoholic beverage, and food business, the net profit of the group was 5,951 million baht, or an increase of 8.6% when compared to last year. This was due to an increase in net profit of beer and F&N and FCR operating results. ThaiBev's Board of Directors agreed to propose an interim dividend payment of 3,767 million baht, or 0.15 baht per share, which is the same amount of last year's interim dividend. For the highlight of the second quarter 2015 operations, the increased stockpiling by agents before a 2% increase in taxes on alcoholic beverages collected for the National Sports Development Fund that came into effect in the late of the first quarter resulted in a 3.4% drop in spirit sales volume in the second quarter 2015. Sales revenue generated by the spirits business in the second quarter 2015 was 24,112 million baht, or a 4.7% drop compared to the same period last year. Spirits business generated a net profit of 4,642 million baht in this quarter. Nevertheless, spirits performance in the first half of the year is satisfactory. Sales revenue generated by the spirits business increased by 2.8% in the first half of the year, resulting from an increase of both sales volume and sales price. Moreover, net profit increased by 95 million baht year-on-year. Despite a drop of sales volume by 4%, beer business reported a slight increase in the second quarter 2015 sales revenue to 8,757 million baht as a result of price adjustment. Coupled with a decrease in raw material costs, the beer business enjoyed the increase in net profit of 55.1% compared to the same period last year to 158 million baht. While the non-alcoholic beverage remained fiercely competitive, this business registered an increase in sales revenue of 2.4% compared to the same period last year. The increase in sales revenue was attributed to the continued increase in sales volume of drinking water and the launch of 100 Plus and Jap Jai, which were well received by consumers. Coupled with the gain on sales of Son Suk land and building amounted to 357 million baht net after tax, non-alcoholic beverage saw a decline in net loss to 251 million baht in this quarter. Sales revenue generated by the food business was 1,687 million baht in the second quarter 2015, an increase of 3.1% compared year-on-year. This was mainly due to a continued increase in the number of restaurant branches. However, the cautious consumer expenditure, which led to the slow improvement in on-trade consumption and the increases in raw material costs, staff costs, and rental expenses, led to the net loss in food business of 2 million baht. International sales in the second quarter 2015 declined by 5% compared to the same period last year. This was attributed to average currency translation together with a slowdown in beer and Scotch whisky sales. We will now open the call to any questions on our results. Operator, please open the line for Q&A.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Participants with questions to pose, please press 01 on your telephone keypad and you'll be placed in the queue. To cancel the queue, please press 02. 01 on your telephone keypad now. Our first question, Justin Cham from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the presentation. I have a couple of questions. On the spirits, the first one on the spirits segment, your SG&A costs were a much higher percentage of net sales, and I'm just trying to understand what portion of it is fixed and variable, and has there been a lot more spending in the A&P as well as distribution?
Hi, Justin, this is Wei Chai. The SG&A incremental is both A&P and also the staff cost. As we mentioned earlier, that we are now divided, we are now organized into product groups, and we are in the process of separate the team between beer and spirit to build the team to focus on each particular segment closely. So this will be the effect of it. That will be a plan for the future, yes.
Okay. So it's higher on AMP as well, staff cost. Okay, thank you for that. My next two questions will be with regards to beer. The export volumes this quarter, how many percent of that is export? I mean, beer volumes in total, how much is export?
The export sale run around 15-16%, and it's been quite consistent with this quarter and the previous quarter.
Okay. In terms of gross profits, which is at 13 baht per liter, how sustainable moving forward do you think this margins it are?
We're quite comfortable with the way it is in terms of gross profit margin. That has been improving in the past year, but we won't put much expectation as a continued improvement. I think the level of gross profit margin as is what we will put in our model.
Okay, thank you for that. Last question would be on your non-alcoholic beverages. Could we have some updates in terms of market share for EST Cola as well as F&N's CSD market share?
For the S Cola, the current market share is about 10%, which is the level that we can maintain from the previous quarter. A little bit slightly dropped because of the serious competition from our competitors. Serious campaign from our competitors that they launched recently. So in summary, it's about 10%.
This is a follow-up question.
In the 100+.
Yeah, the F&N.
The 100+.
Yeah, 100+. Yeah, the market share.
It's quite early to say for the market share right now, but I can inform you roughly that we can get a very good feedback from our customers regarding for the brand awareness for 100+. We still continue to do the trial or the sampling to introduce a product into the market and educate them how to, in terms of occasion of drinking this product.
Okay. So the feedback was mainly anecdotal. You said good feedback from the public. Any color on that?
We expect that the number that should be around 1-2% of CSD market.
Okay. Thank you. That's all from me. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Our next question, Yusuf from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi. Sawadee Kap. I have a few questions here. First of all, on the spirit business, the volume decline year on year, how much is related to the weak economy, the macro? Especially now it seems things are getting worse in our country. We have a drought. Farmers' income is falling, and there will be a lower production of rice and other commodities because of the lack of water. So that's one question. And my second question regarding the non-alcoholic beverage. The losses, if we exclude the profit from the sale of land of Sermsuk, this is really, it get much worse. It looks like you're investing a lot in marketing expenses and promotion to launch the new product. How this we should look at it going forward? So these are my two questions for now.
Okay, Yusuf, I will answer the first questions. The decline of spirit volume in the second quarter has come from both economy and the facings. Because if you remember, in March we selling a lot. In the first quarter, the spirit was grow like 10%. Which is not normal, as I said last time. It's quite difficult to say how much the impact. But what I can tell you is the impact of the economy we can feel it because the decline of the brown spirit is higher. In fact, the second quarter, the white spirit doesn't decline. It just shows that people have less money and they trade down to the white spirit. Okay?
Okay.
Having said that, I would like to emphasize again that I keep on saying, talking about the three buckets that we have, the beer, the white, the brown. My assumption is people will not drink less. They have less money, they still drink, but they're moving to the white spirit. So that's the only sign that I can see that the impact of the economy, because people start to trade down to white spirit. Fortunately, we have both white and brown. So, but going forward, I think it's going to be quite difficult also because of the economy like this.
Because right, exactly, but because the overall volume still net-net, you have decline. And I understand
right.
There was destocking because of the restocking before the head of the excise tax. So that's my thing. And as you pointed out, going forward, Q3, Q4, given the situation in our country and the drought, so we could expect even more decline?
Well, I think the decline probably continue on the brown a bit, but the white spirit probably increase because people just switch to the white. See, because when the agents stock up, they consider which brands they have most benefit, and happen to be the brown spirit tax increase is greater than the white. So the first quarter they're buying a lot of brown spirit in their stocks. That's one of the reasons why the brown declined in the second quarter. But as I said, there are some impact on the economy. But I don't think overall liquid. I think we should be able to maintain the volume, but it just switched back and forth between the white and the brown.
Okay, and the brown has higher margin than the white, right?
One contribution, well, the brown, we have the A&P, right? The white, we don't have an A&P, we only have distribution cost. When I'm talking about product contributions, it's probably the same percentage, roughly.
Okay.
Okay, the second question is non-alcohol.
Yeah. Okay.
Could you repeat the question again?
On the non-alcohol, you said?
If I exclude the, on the non-alcoholic beverage, if I exclude the profit from the sale of the land, definitely it worsened. The operating losses have worsened. EBITDA has worsened because of higher marketing expenses. It seems you're spending a lot for to launch this new product because of the competition, I guess. So going forward, I mean, it seems it keep rising. What we should expect, especially in this kind of weak economy?
Let me explain a bit for the spending of promoting the brand like Escola. As you may know that Samsung already sold brand to the kind of expense that's not counting in the Samsung P&L, but the rest is still in the crystal drinking water A&P is still there. But let me explain on the current situation. Performance of Samsung now is kind of like maintained at the level of close to last year, but drop in Escola sales, but increase a lot in the crystal or drinking water sales. And they can save a lot from the A&P expense due to they don't have to pay that anymore because they don't no longer belong to the brand owner. The situation for the rest of the year, we still try to promote the brand and have some of the kind of like the campaign to be executed in the second half of this year. We still have to invest in brands as Cola. We believe that this brand will be our winning brand in the.
Okay, thank you. Our next question, Titi Tiap from Patra. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Kun Wichai, I have two questions. The first one, we have already discussed the spirit sales volume and how about beer. The beer sales volume has been like a roller coaster in the first quarter, increasing a lot and then dropping in the second quarter. Can you tell us what happened and what is the expectation for the second half of this year?
This is for Pak Wong. I think the Q2, if you look just at Q2 volumes, BSL, it's actually lower than Q2 of this previous year and the year before. It's contribute partly to the fact that in Q1 we sold into the system quite a fair bit. So we like to look at it on a 6-month basis that we are quite comfortable with the growth. that we manage. In terms of sales going forward, the Q3 is generally a low selling month. We'll expect Q4 this year. We are expecting, with our expectation, we think our Q4 should be better than our Q4 last year. That's our expectation. The one part of the contributions to lower sale in Q2 also have to do with quite relatively flat export growth. We have some gradual growth in the export, but this is lower than many quarters that we have continued export growth. I think this reflects to general environments of lower consumption in the region as well. So I think together it's resolved to a bit lower sales.
Right. And then you mentioned that you injected a lot of inventory into the system. Is that because of the spot fund tax that was at the end of the first quarter?
Right. At the end of the first quarter, with the last week, that's when the spot tax increase happened. So our system, in terms of our agents, they actually bought in a lot of stocks. So that's kind of like the last week of sale in March was actually more of a sale that meant to be first half.
Okay.
And I think in general, you see the consumptions of alcoholic beverage in general in the second quarter is not as good. We have slowed down in consumer spending.
Right. And then that brings me to the second question. If you went back to 2008 and 2009 during the subprime crisis, then, you know, we had recession in Thailand during that period. What we have seen is quite a big shift in demand from beer into the spirit. You expect the same thing to happen this time around? Or?
I don't think so. I don't think it will happen. It will be. I can see that the beer still have a chance to grow because the Nielsen report that the consumption of beer start to pick up. On the opposite, is spirit is still the consumption still declined by 1 to 2%. It's better than last year, but the decline is still there. It's about 1 or 2% on the second quarter.
Right. Khun Ueh Chai Khap, usually in the past, the economy or the consumption hasn't really affected the beer and alcoholic drink consumption. What happened this time around? You know, what is the difference from the previous downturn cycle?
Well, as I said, the tape, I still believe my assumption is they're still drinking, right? It's what they drink. Like second quarter, if they look at into the details, the white spirit are not declined. The one that declined is the brown spirit. There are two reasons for that. One, the agents might buy quite a bit of the brown spirit because the benefit of the tax increase is greater than the white. That's why they probably stock up a lot. The second question, the second reason was that I noticed there'll be trade down from the brown spirit to the white spirit. The reason I say that is because the decline was on the half bottle more than the full bottle, which means that people who can afford the half bottles of brown spirit have turned to the white spirit.
Right, I understood.
Okay.
And then the last question, you know, the good thing about the economic downturn is that the commodity price has come down. I believe including the fin collet and then the energy cost. Should we expect your packaging cost to come down, you know, in the next 6 to 12 months? Is there any sign?
The packaging cost probably will not come down very much, but the logistic cost, I can see that the logistic cost will be a bit better off because the gasoline is down, right? So the logistic cost, I can see the sign of coming down.
Right, of course. Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next question, Ku Chun Xiong from One North Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, and congrats again for a very decent set of results in a tough environment. I've got a couple of questions. Let's start with the spirits. Firstly, Khun Ueh Chai, I remember during the call last quarter, you mentioned that, yes, we did sell a little bit more into the channel before the sports tax hike, but mentioned that it was generally, you know, just, you know, about 1 week's worth of inventory above what is normal. Mm. But yet, this quarter, you know, it shows that the stocking effect seems to have been worse. So, you know, just to connect the dots, it seems like consumption has definitely weakened a little bit more. So maybe you could just help me understand what is happening. I know you commented that brown spirits volumes have come off, but you mentioned that white spirits volumes have been growing even during second quarter. Could you just clarify that for me? And also if you could comment on the current mix of white spirits versus brown spirits.
Yeah, actually the white spirit on the second quarter not growing but not declined at all. It's level with last year. Like I said, because the brown spirit tax benefit is greater than the white, that's why agent is stocked up quite a bit. This year, the brown spirit declined. I think the stock level now is not very high at the moment because I believe the agent probably see the future economy is not so good, so they kind of keep their stock quite low at the moment. It's about, you know, my last report is. The white spirit, they have about only 2 weeks, and the browns is about the same. Normally, they keep about 3 to 4 weeks. Consumption, like I said, the Nielsen report, the consumption of the spirit declined by about 2% in the second quarter. But actually, it's improved from last year. Last year, it declined as much as 5. But hope that going forward, it will not decline more or level off.
I see. Okay. So I mean, it's two levels of time, right? Firstly, there was brown spirits volume dropped, and also secondly, the channel is stocking less, and that's what contributed to the drop in the volumes. Right.
And
then,
so
it's more like
what you're asking is the white spirit in terms of volume is about 70%. It was roughly about 50%.
Okay.
Okay.
Any more further question, Pujan Xiong?
Yes, and I got more questions about your A&P. And to the earlier question about the A&P as a percentage of revenues rising for the first quarter, I still don't quite get it because, you know, white spirit sales is picking up, so intuitively, A&P as a percentage of sales should be coming off because it should be reducing because your white spirit doesn't require A&P.
No, the white spirit we don't spend on A&P very much. We spend on the brown spirit. And mind you that the second quarter we have Songkran Festival. That's the time that we spend money. And like the third quarter, we probably stop spending and then we spend again on the fourth quarter. Roughly. Songkran, we did spend. We did spend on Songkran.
That was spending to help drive the brown spirits volume.
Correct. Try to maintain the consumption and all.
I see. Okay. And you mentioned about also the impact of reorganization of your sales team so that you get a more product focus along the spirits and beer product verticals. So can I just confirm my understanding that reorganization had raised your fixed cost, your staff cost for the the spirits alcoholic.
Correct. Before we used one sales to do both spirit, beer and all, right? And then you know the nature of the sales when they get the volume for the sale from spirit, they stop selling beer. So we are now built for future. Right now, we kind of separate the team so board can focus. You can see that in future, the both beer and spirit will probably can grow together. And then that will be the one time that we put more people in. All these people are one who making money. That should be okay. Not the back office.
Sure, it's investing for the future, yeah?
Yes.
Just one more question in the spirits business before we hop on to the beer. And the CapEx for the spirits businesses, you know, for the first half of this year to date is kind of really on the high side. I know you commented a little bit about some CapEx for the Scottish operation, during last quarter's call. But, you know, could you just refresh, just update us on what's happening on the CapEx or the spirit side and how much higher it will really go for this year?
We are planning to build one more distillery in the upcountry for the malt to supply for our own products. And then we just spent on buying land. We haven't started to build the distillery yet, but we have a project.
So So there was a land purchase associated with this new distillery you're planning for?
Correct, correct. And this will be finished in 2 years.
Okay. And is this, will this distillery just serve the upcountry, or this will also serve
beyond the border? We produce a malt which is to one of the ingredients for the brown spirit. At the moment, we import quite a bit, and then in future, when this malt distillery coming up, then we probably can replace it with the import.
Do some import substitution.
Correct.
I see. Will that generate that much savings for you?
When we do the project, we always have to go through the investment committee, and the IRR, the hurdle rate, it have to be at least over 12% hurdle rate. And then I think for this case, it's a lot higher than the IRR is a lot higher, because we plan to save.
Okay. All right. Very good. And then just now on beer. Now, beer. I just want to understand again, why is there increase in selling expenses when volumes have come off? What's going on there?
It's the same. We are building the. It's the same as spirit in beer. We are now build a team for future for investor.
I see.
It's the same.
Okay, so it's the increase in the headcount because of separating the sales team.
Correct.
Well, you got to get quality people to give you quality results.
Sure. For future.
Okay, all right. I think that's about it for me. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Poo.
Thank you. Our next follow-up question, Chichi Tiap from Patra. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I have two more questions. Number one, the government has recently banned alcohol sales close to school and university. Can I have your view on potential impact on sales? Do you think it's going to have a serious implication?
They will have some impact, because the problem is the clarity of the law is the problem more than anything. But this will probably impact on the on-trade business more than the off-trade, okay? And majority of our spirit is consumed at home, like white spirit is no on-trade, and the Hong Tong actually no very few on-trade. And beer, there are some on-trade, but majority of Chang beer also consumed, but it's a home consumption. So the impact will be there, but I don't think it will be very serious, because people can walk further than 300 meters to buy beer. I think they still drink.
I thought that even the retail sales close to school is banned.
Yeah, I think
like
that's
7-Eleven.
Actually, that law, the 300 meters, was halt by the Prime Minister, but the clause 44 is most unclear. They are supposed to stop the motorcyclists, right? That's why they said close to the university. I don't know, but 7-Eleven still selling, and then we are follow up closely with this on this law. Some impact, but not much.
Okay. And then the second question, you have been very successful in raising the product price, and then, you know, lead to the margin expansion. But given the state of the economy and then the soft sales volume, is it fair to say maybe this is not the right time to push further on the price?
Very fair. We have to watch the situation closely. I know my beer team would like to do that so much, but they also have to consider the consequence. Yeah, I think we are very careful this time with this kind of economy.
Right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next follow-up question, Yusuf from UBS. Please go ahead. Yes, quickly, I just on the issue of the ruling, the alcohol ban. Did I understand correctly? It's not yet finalized, right? It's being halted now. There is no implementation. Is that correct?
Okay, not correct. There are two laws. Actually, the one that they mentioned about 300 meters was halted. Okay? But there are the other law that they said, but they didn't specify whether 300 or 200. They said not allowed to sell alcoholic beverage close to the school.
Used with school and dormitory.
So that's why it's not clear. Everybody still they still haven't stopped selling. I think need to be clarified.
Yeah, but the 300 meter is 300 meter from what? From the school and university as well, right?
Right. That's halt. That's was halt by the PM.
Yeah, it's a, okay. And just, did you say the white spirit volume is 70% of your total spirit volume?
Correct.
Okay, that's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Yusuf.
Thank you. Our next follow-up question, Ku Chen Xiong from One North Capital.
Hello. Yes. Just a quick question on Samsung. Sold the land and the building. Can you just help me understand who is the new owner and what is the nature of the land and building that was sold? Are these land and building that are currently used or empty capacity? Just give us some color on what the exact assets that were sold.
Mr. Ku, we can't answer that. We use the bidding process and people bid the highest price, okay? Because...
Okay.
Any more questions? Any other questions, Mr. Ku?
No, sorry. When you sold... What was the nature of the land and the building? Are these production capacity that you have sold?
Oh, not really. It's not a production.
So what are these? Are these warehouses? You could just give me some sense of the type of building and land that was sold.
Apple speaking. The land that's so it's sold to the principal shareholder. That one is a warehouse, not the farm. It's a warehouse.
But bidding process.
Yeah. So it's a related party transaction. The shareholder of the Samsung approved the transaction with the principal shareholder is abstained. And this one the principal shareholder, CCC Group, when they bought the land, they have the project to develop the land because they have the property development. Yeah.
Mm. Okay, all right. So there will be no lease-back agreements whatsoever with the buyer, yeah? This is a sale of a warehouse that is not needed anymore by Samsung.
Right.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Thank you. Apparently no questions, thank you. Our next question, Marianne from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for the call. Firstly, how has July been? I understand that the third quarter is typically a weak quarter, but how has it fared versus your expectations? Has it been weaker than your expectations?
Speculation, Marian. How's July? July's okay. We cannot talk about the future. Sorry, but cannot say. But I'm happy.
Okay. Wanted to get a sense on the split between on-trade and off-trade for your sales.
The split on the on-trade or off-trade sales actually depends on the product. For spirit, white spirit is totally off-trade, okay? There's no on-trade whatsoever. And then the brown spirit depends on the brand. On our main brand, Hong Tong, is mainly almost 95% off-trade. And on the Blend 285 and Sang Som is 20% on-trade, okay? But beer, roughly about 25% on-trade, roughly.
As for the market split between 80-20 for the off-tail and on-trade.
Okay, Marianne?
Okay, thanks for that. Yes, there has been some discussion on removing the SIM tax. Any updates on that?
Oh, I think the government, it's not removing, actually, they still collect it, but they probably go directly to the Ministry of Finance rather than go to the television station directly. I think they just divert fund to the government and the government will allocate. For us, we're still paying.
Okay, thank you. That's all.
Thank you. Our next question, Kenneth Ng from CIMB. Please go ahead.
Hi, management.
Hi.
Some questions regarding a little bit more to structure and that's related to the F&N losing the stake in the Myanmar brewery. I think the first question is on the export sales. In the past, export volumes were doing quite well. There were some comments that export volumes, beer export volumes of Thai beer slowed a little. Is it in Myanmar specifically that slowed or is it other markets? And I think the question is more relevant on a looking forward basis. After your F&N loses your Myanmar brewery, does it brighten the prospects for focusing on growth for Chang Myanmar or would that give you some roadblock because the army will block you or something like that? Outlook for beer in Myanmar?
Well, that's good questions. Just first to answer the way we report in our financial, the volumes that we reported are only volumes that sold by Thai beverage, and the volume of BSL in Myanmar Brewery, MBL, which is a subsidiary of F&N, doesn't report into this set of financial. The fact that the MBL, according to F&N, that maybe sold That's really a Myanmar beer brand. It doesn't actually change our focus as to how we would like to build our charm brands in ASEAN, Myanmar included. Myanmar is one of those high growth within ASEAN, outside Thailand where the potential growth. So the answer is it doesn't change the aspect, the way we want to look at charm beer in ASEAN. And also Myanmar.
Then the question next then is on F&N. You guys in the Vision 20 talked about diversifying out of Thailand and also diversifying out of alcohol business. With F&N having lost your MBL, how do you see F&N? Is it as a holding vehicle for your Thailand business or is it as a holding vehicle as an ex-alcohol business?
I think that's the question's more from the corporate actions, corporate development side. Just a second. As for the time being, it's actually difficult to comment as to what F&N would be as a holding company of which business. As of today, F&N still, Thai Beverage is only owned about 28% in F&N and about 68% remain held by TCC asset. But at the moment, we don't have an answer as to what will be whether F&N will be a holding company for certain business.
Thank you. Our next follow-up question, Yusuf from UBS. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Just to quickly to follow up on this F&N issue, since already now the court already ordered both parties, for you guys, for F&N to sell their stake in Myanmar Brewery, and I think the price has been agreed on $565 million, and the execution should be happening this month. So this uncertainty is being eliminated. We should expect some corporate transaction or corporate action. Should we expect something before the end of this year?
Well, as of now, there has been no discussion at our board level as to what will be the next corporate actions as to what, you know, our shares in F&N. So that's as much as we can explain.
Okay.
Any more further questions, Yusuf?
No, that's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Yusuf. Mr. Kuo coming in again.
Our next follow-up question, Kuo Tseng Siong from One North Capital.
Yes, hi. Maybe you could just comment on how you see the Myanmar beer industry changing following this transaction, with this F&N selling off its 5% block back to MBL. As a participant in the market, can you just comment with your thoughts on what would change in the Myanmar beer industry landscape?
I think our comments that we're giving here, it's just a comment from the way we look at the beer market in general. The answer is how the chain of ownership in Myanmar beer, MBL, whether it's F&N or not F&N, should not change the landscape of competitions. Today, previously, before Heineken's and Carlsberg opened their two breweries, there were three breweries, and MBL was the largest brewery. There was also Davon Beer and Mandalay Beer in existence. But MBL has been commanding the highest market share out of the three breweries. Now the competition, what will not change is that now there are two new foreign competitors, Carlsberg and Heineken, that will intensify the competitions in the market to seek for that consumer spending in the product itself. So I wouldn't say that chain of ownership does make change of the landscape and competitions in the market.
Fair enough. But I mean, as an observer and participant in the market, do you see that this transaction will create a chain reaction of transactions within the beer industry in Myanmar?
I would not know how it
would. Right. I mean, I'm just thinking out loud here, and I just want to get your feel. I mean, I'm not talking for about whatever inside information you have, but as a rational observer of the industry, seeing that this block that is owned by F&N now going back to MBL, would MBL then look for a new foreign partner, and therefore that could change the dynamic of the beer industry? I mean, what are your thoughts along those lines?
No comments on that.
As an industry player and participant, do you see any scope of that development, given what players there would gather? I mean, just from being in the market.
Well, as it's been announced that FNN likely will sell the share in MBL to the partners, the transaction yet to happen, but based on the announcement, the likelihood is very high. So I would have to give the respect to our partners, the Myanmar side, as to what they would like to do with their stake. So I would.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. There are currently no questions in queue. One to keep head now. Our next question, Shane Goh from Daiwa. Please go ahead.
Hi, management. Thanks for your presentation today. I mean, just to follow up on the question, I won't talk about Myanmar, but probably about Vietnam. The trail seems to have gone cold, with regard to the acquisition of Sabeco. And it seemed like, one of your major peers in Thailand is looking to acquire a stake there as well. Do you have any follow-up, whether it's on acquisition or what plans for Vietnam? Thank you.
What have been in the news is probably the right information. There are many brewers and financial investors who are looking to acquire a controlling or majority stake in the event where the divestment of those shares happen by the Ministry of Industry and Trade, MOIT, which is the ministry that hold the share in Sabeco or Saigon Beer. As to the timing of the divestment, we understand that the committees are still reviewing and they have yet to announce who would be the selected partners. As also reported in the news, that our companies also have expressed interest. That is true, as many brewer have expressed their interest in terms of having a chance into participating in any divestment of that stake. That's as far as we know. The government have yet to make the decisions. Looking forward, the Vietnamese government are in the process of the party are in the process of electing the new sets of the management, so I think that may affect the outcome of the divestment, whether it will happen or will not happen, and that's as much as we have.
Okay, can I just clarify, when you say in the process of appointing a new management, is there sort of a timeline that we should be looking at?
Well, that's the Communist Party changing leaf, so I wouldn't comment on what way.
Okay. Could you share then, because it was reported in one of the articles as well, that FNN might actually be one of the players, combined with ThaiBev to be taking a stake there. With the sale of MBL, if it goes through, they will be quite flush with cash. So just wondering what they may use the cash for, and definitely if this tobacco acquisition does go through, then, we can see where the cash may be funded instead of sitting on their balance sheet.
Yeah, I think it's not for Thai Beverage to make a comment as to the use of proceeds by FNN in the case where FNN have divested MBL. Although we have stake of 28%. But I think as for the news reported, generally the newspaper like to report Thai Beverage and sometimes talk about FNN as we are an affiliated company. So we wouldn't comment further beyond
that. Okay, that's all I have. Thank you.
As there are no further questions, I will now hand the session back to Ms. Nam Phong on to Thong Rong Si. Please go ahead.
Thank you for joining Thai Beverage conference call tonight. If you have more questions, please feel free to contact IR department at ir@thaibev.com. Thank you and have a good night. And have a good night. And have a good night. And have a good night.